नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्णा
In Krishna consciousness, nothing is free. You have to pay the price. But that price you pay, not always with money. The real price you pay is with your devotion. If you can pay the right price, then you can go back to Golok Vrindavan. And what is the price? The price is pure devotional service. So we pay the price through devotion. The more devotion you acquire, the better is the reward. So it's starting with visiting Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan Temple. Who can come to Radha Madan Mohan Temple? Think of it. Who are able to come to Radha Madan Mohan Temple? Can everybody come? Why can't everybody come? Because they are not able to pay the price. Only those who have devotion, those who have bhakti, they are coming. And more bhakti they have, the more they are able to come. More time they are able to spend. More they can get involved. So always remember that the ultimate price you pay with devotion. Money is not important in Krishna consciousness. Money is not so important in Krishna consciousness. Money has its need. Because if you didn't have the money, you couldn't build a temple. Nowadays, everything requires money. So, even to preach, we need money. Even to promote Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness, money is needed. But it's needed as a means. Just like in order to go to some place, we have to go by train or plane. So the going is the means. With that means we are going. So similarly, money is the means with which things are accomplished. So in that sense, money is needed, but the real need is bhakti. Real price we pay with bhakti. If you have bhakti, you can conquer death. Can you buy any medicine that will conquer death? If they had a medicine that would conquer death, can you imagine how much money people would pay for that medicine? If it was possible to conquer death, then people would give anything. People are giving that. In order to prevent death, people are spending so much money. I was told recently that this hospital business is the biggest business now. Most successful business. And why? Because people are prepared to pay any amount of money. When you are sick, to get cured, you will pay any amount of money. And today people have a lot of money, so they don't mind spending a lot of money to get cured. To get cured, people are spending so much money. To become immortal, how much money they would be willing to pay. But we have the medicine that will cure death. Am I making a false claim? How many of you think that we have a medicine that will cure death, that will conquer death? Okay. So if you get something, do you have to pay the price? Yes, you have to pay the price. What price do you have to pay? to conquer death, to buy this medicine to conquer death. Prabhupada gave that medicine. And for this, Prabhupada wanted only one price. Chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada was in his early household days, Prabhupada was a distributor of medicines. Prabhupada had a business of distributing medicines. But later on, Prabhupada started to distribute this medicine all over the world. And this business became very successful. And the name of that company is ISKCON, which has the sole selling rights to distribute this medicine of conquering death. And what price Prabhupada is asking? On the levels of prices written, maximum little price or the minimum little price. The minimum little retail price is 16 rounds a day and 4 regulative principles. So anyone who pays that price will not only conquer death, he will become elevated to the spiritual sky. Actually, although Prabhupada is not claiming that, but there are many things that are automatically conquering death is just the sidekick of this medicine. Side effect. The death is conquered when one surrenders to Krishna. You surrender to Krishna, death will run away from you. Or if he is nearby, then he will, with folded hands, he will pray, please engage me in your devotional service. So this is the most wonderful thing that we receive. As I was saying, please develop your devotion. All the arrangements that is there in ISKCON, simply for the sake of conquering death and going back to Godhead. Back to God, Prabhupada gave the title of the magazine. Back to Godhead. So follow Srila Prabhupada, you'll go back to Godhead. So today we'll discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 22, The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Text 8. Bhavan Duhitri Shneha Parikleshtatmano Mama Shrotum Arhasi Dinasya Shravitam Kripaya Mune. Sa Bhavan Duhitri Shneha Parikleshtatmano Mama Shrotum Arhasi Dinasya Shravitam Kripaya Mune. Sa Bhavan Duhitri Shneha Parikleshtatmano Mama Shrotum Arhasi Dinasya Shravitam Kripaya Mune. Sa Bhavan Duhitri Shneha Parikleshtatmano Mama Shrotum Arhasi Dinasya Shravitam Kripaya Mune. Sa yourself.
Bhavan,
Bhavan,
your honor.
Duhitri Sneha,
by affection for my daughter.
Pariklishta Atmanaha,
whose mind is agitated.
Mama,
my.
Shrotum,
to listen.
Or her see.
Be pleased.
Dinasya,
of my humble self.
Shravitam,
to the prayer.
Kripaya,
graciously.
Mune,
O sage.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
O great sage, graciously be pleased to listen to the prayer of my humble self, for my mind is troubled by affection for my daughter.
Please repeat now.
O great sage,
O great sage,
graciously be pleased to listen to the prayer,
of my humble self.
For my mind is troubled,
by affection
for my daughter.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
When a disciple is perfectly in consonance with the spiritual master, having received his message and executed it perfectly and sincerely, he has a right to ask a particular favor from the spiritual master. Generally, a pure devotee of the Lord or a pure disciple of a bona fide spiritual master does not ask any favor either from the Lord or the spiritual master. But even if there is a need to ask a favor from the spiritual master, one cannot ask that favor without satisfying him fully. Svayambhuva Manu wanted to disclose his mind regarding the function he wanted to execute due to affection for his daughter.
Sabhavan duhitri sneha parikleshtat mano mama shrotum arhasi dinasya shravitam kripaya mune.
O great sage, graciously be pleased to listen to the prayer of my humble self, for my mind is troubled by affection for my daughter.
So, who is saying this?
Very good. Svayambhuva Manu. And to whom he is saying this?
To Kardama Muni.
And this chapter, this section, is a part of Vidur Maitreya Sambhad. You all remember? Vidura left home. It has been described, Vidura, who is Vidura? Vidura was one of the brothers of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. So they were the rulers, they were the kings, and Vidura, being their brother, used to live in that king, in that palace. They had same father but different mothers. Their father was Vasudeva. And Dhritarashtra and Pandu and Vidura came from three different mothers. Ambika, Ambalika, and one of their maidservants was Vidura's mother. Because Vidura was born of a maidservant, therefore Vidura was considered to be a Shudra. But who is actually Vidura? Vidura is Jamraj himself. Jamraj was cursed by Mandava Muni. And as a result of the curse, he was born as a Shudra.
That is Vidura. But although he was born in the womb of a Sudrani, but he was very, very exalted personality. And just before the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Vidura saw that a big fratricidal war is about to take place, a war between the same family, among the members of the same family, it was very undesirable. So Vidura didn't want to be a party to that. He left. And Vidura was traveling in different places of pilgrimage. And he traveled for many, many years. In the meantime, not only the Battle of Kurukshetra was over, the Pandava became the kings, Yudhishthir Maharaj was reinstated on the throne, and they ruled for many years, and then Krishna left the planet, then Pandavas left their kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj, and they left home, they left their palace towards Himalayas, started for the Himalayas, and on the way they gave up their bodies one after another along with Draupadi. And before leaving the planet, Krishna instructed Maitreya Rishi to instruct Vidura. And then in course of time, Vidura came across Uddhava. And then Uddhava told Vidura to meet with Maitreya Rishi because Krishna instructed him to advise or instruct Vidura. So while traveling, Vidura came across Maitreya Rishi on the bank of Ganges in Haridwar. And a discussion took place between Vidura and Maitreya. Suta Goswami narrated the discussions that took place between Vidura and Maitreya. So those discussions are known as Vidura Maitreya Sambad of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Vidura asked various questions. First he asked about Krishna, what happened and how the Jadus fought among themselves and killed themselves apparently. And then how Krishna left for the spiritual sky. And in this way the discussion started. And then Vidura questioned about the creation. Bhagavatam has 10 lakshanam, 10 symptoms. So those 10 symptoms, the first two symptoms are sarga and visarga. Sarga is the primary creation, principal creation, and visarga is the secondary creation. When Vishnu creates the material nature, that aspect is sarga. And the visarga aspect begins with Brahma. So the previous chapters, especially the 20th chapter, discussed about the visarga aspect. Vidura was questioning and Maitreya started to tell that how Brahma started his creation. Brahma understood his responsibility. What was Brahma's responsibility? Brahma's responsibility was to fill up the universe. And that assignment Brahma took upon himself, and he started, and then it has been described how different demigods appeared, demons appeared, night appeared, and the darkness of ignorance appeared, and all due to the 8 aspects of material elements. five gross elements, Pancha Mahabhut, and three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego, and the three modes of material nature. It's all due to the interaction between the material nature, the modes of material nature, and the living entities acting according to the influence of the modes. And then the creation, it came to from Brahma, it came to Brahma's children. So here it's the description of how Brahma's son, Svayambhuva Manu, had two sons and three daughters, Priyavrata, Uttanapad, Akuti, Prasuti, and Devahuti. These three daughters were given in marriage to three very exalted personalities. Akuti and Prasuti were offered to Ruchi and Daksha, other two sons of Brahma. And the youngest one, Devahuti, was offered to Kardama Muni. And the previous chapter described how Kardama Muni was instructed by Brahma to procreate, to create progeny, to get children. But before that, Kardama Muni decided to go and perform austerities for 10,000 years to purify himself. So this is one very important instruction that everybody should try to at least uphold, that household life is not just an irresponsible entrance to a situation for sense gratification. It allows sense gratification, household life, but one must be properly prepared to enter into household life. In the past we saw that those who are exemplary personalities, devotees of the Lord, whenever they were instructed to enter into household life, they first performed austerity. Like here we can see Kardama Muni. Another example is the Prachetas. Prachetas were instructed to procreate children, to get married and procreate children. They just left home to perform austerities, to prepare themselves for that. Very difficult ashram. Household life is a very difficult ashram. Because the goal of life is to withdraw from sense gratification. The goal of life is to conquer the urges of the senses. So that's the goal of life. Now the three other ashrams, they are away from that. They don't have any possibility of indulgence. Therefore they can easily stay away from sense gratification. Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Grihastha. But the household life is, they're in the middle of sense gratification and still not be entangled in sense gratification. That's very difficult. It's something like trying to fast, sitting in a room full of delicious prasad. When you fast, you feel hungry. And when there is prasad in front of you, you will naturally feel like eating. But you have the prasad in front of you, but you can't eat. So that is the situation as it has been described in the scriptures, the problem of how difficult the household life is. Like indulgence only for procreation is very, very difficult. So So that's why we find that exalted personalities, before entering into household life, they just went to a very special mission to control their senses. Like here we are getting the example of Kardama Muni. Then when Kardama Muni performed his austerities so sincerely, the Supreme Personality of Godhead came to him and told him that a suitable girl has been arranged for you to marry. Who is that girl that you'll get married to? She is the daughter of Svayambhuva Manu. Manu and Shatarupa. And the Lord told Kardama Muni that they will come in 2 days' time. In 2 days' time they'll come to you. And saying that, the Lord disappeared, and Kardama Muni was just watching the Lord disappearing on the back of Garuda, sitting on the back of Garuda. And Garuda was flapping his wings, what was happening? Samaveda was sung. Garuda doesn't even sing Samaveda with his mouth. When he flaps his wing, the mantras of Samaveda begin to vibrate. So then, Shatarupa and Svayambhuva Manu, along with the daughter Devahuti, came to Kardama Muni. And although Svayambhuva Manu is such an exalted personality, he fell at the feet of Kardama Muni and offered his respect. And these are the conversation that was taking place between Svayambhuva Manu and Kardama Muni. And Prabhupada is very wonderfully elaborating those points. Like, apparently, the father-in-law is senior. Superior. You remember why Daksha got upset on Lord Shiva? Because he saw that Shiva as his son-in-law. And he was the father-in-law. He was superior. And not only as a father-in-law, but he thought he was superior to everybody. The only one who was superior to him was Lord Brahma. And that's why when Shiva did not offer him respect, he got upset. Daksha got upset. But Lord Shiva didn't want to show disrespect. It's not that Lord Shiva was not showing respect to Daksha. But Lord Shiva was so absorbed in meditating on Krishna, chanting his glory in his mind, that he didn't have his external consciousness. He didn't have any awareness of what was going on around him. Not only he was not seeing anything, he was not hearing anything. So he was completely in another world. But Daksha became very, very upset about that. Why? Oh, he didn't show me respect. But a devotee, he is amanina manatena. He is prepared. Devotee offers respect to anyone and everyone. A devotee offers respect even to an ant, knowing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in his heart. That is why a devotee is respectful towards everyone, because he sees that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. That's why he's prepared to offer respects to everyone. He sees that everybody is a temple of the Supreme Lord, temple of Krishna. স্থাবর জঙ্গম দেখে, না দেখে তার মূর্তি, সর্বত্র স্ফুরয় তার ইষ্টদেব স্ফূর্তি। হি সিজ ডিফারেন্ট মুভিং অ্যান্ড নন মুভিং লিভিং এন্টিটিজ, বাট ইন দেয়ার হি সিজ অনলি হিজ ওয়ার্শিপেবল লর্ড ইষ্টদেব স্ফূর্তি। জাস্ট লাইক পিপল অফার রেসপেক্ট টু দ্য টেম্পল, ডু দে অফার রেসপেক্ট টু দ্য stones and bricks and cements? Do they offer respect to that building? No. What do they respect? Why do they respect the temple? Why do they offer obeisances to the temple? Because of the Lord in the temple. Similarly, an advanced devotee, a pure devotee, sees that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and that's how he offers respect to everybody. So that was Lord Shiva's situation. He didn't want to disrespect anybody, what to speak of Daksha. But Daksha, because he was materially motivated, he was upset about that. So here we are seeing the opposite situation. Here, Sayambhuva Manu came to offer his daughter to Kardama Muni. But here, he is offering respect to Kardama Muni, offering obeisance. He fell at his feet and offered beautiful prayers to him. Now, why he is offering respect? Because Kardama Muni is exalted position. Kardama Muni is a very, very advanced devotee of the Lord, so much so that the Lord decided to come as his son. And this was the arrangement that the Lord made. Kardama Muni would get married to Devahuti, and Devahuti in this way was offered to Kardama. And here he is saying that out of his affection for his daughter that he has come to ask him for something. Please fulfill my desire. What was the desire? Please accept my daughter as your wife. And he is, in the next verse it will be described that how Devahuti became attached to Kardama. Devahuti heard about Kardama Muni from Narad Muni. And just by hearing, she fell in love. Just like Rukmini, also, just by hearing about Krishna, not seeing, just by hearing about Krishna, she fell in love with Krishna. So here, Narad Muni, when he was describing about Kardama Muni, most probably to Sayambhuva Manu, then Devahuti overheard it, and he became attracted to his character, to his youthful nature, his profound spiritual wisdom, and his austerity. So these are the real qualities. Nowadays, the girls don't fall in love for character and good qualities. Generally, when we see that they fall in love mainly with money. How much? The main consideration, even when the parents look for a suitable husband, they don't often, I'm talking about the outside world, not the Krishna conscious world, there their main concern is how much money he earns. How much money does his father have? So these are the main consideration. But in those days, we can see, the Kardama Muni, what did he have? Sayambhuva Manu didn't consider whether Kardama Muni will be able to feed his daughter. And that was a question actually. Kardama Muni was not in a position to properly take care of Devahuti. He didn't have a palace. He didn't have even a house. Probably he had a little shack made out of some branches of trees and bamboos and some leaves on the bank of Saraswati River. That's about all he had. And most of the time, he was not here. He was not here in the sense, his mind was somewhere else in meditation. His mind was absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. And what a hardship, what a difficulty. Like, no one, I mean, we can see Devahuti, she was the daughter of a prince, a daughter of a king. She was a princess. And that personality is not an ordinary personality. He's Manu. He's the lord of the mankind. And his abode was in Brahmaloka, in Brahmavarta. In Brahmaloka, there is a region called Brahmavarta, that is the area of Svayambhuva Manu. Such an exalted personality. And his daughter, and not only his daughter, his youngest daughter. Generally, the parents are most attracted to the youngest daughter, especially the father. Father becomes most attached to the youngest daughter. Fathers become attached to daughters, and mother becomes attached to the son, usually. And of the daughters, the father becomes attached to the youngest one. And this youngest daughter, he's offering a person who has nothing materially considering. He doesn't have a place to stay. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any servant. Like it has been described how the princesses used to live. Their feet didn't touch the ground. Somewhere that description has been given. That description was given about Sati. Daksha was speaking. That here is my daughter, my youngest daughter. Sati also was Daksha's youngest daughter. And that youngest daughter had been given to Lord Shiva, who also didn't have a home, who also didn't have any possession, who was apparently like a madman. But Lord Shiva's madness is Dibbonmadana, transcendental madness. He is mad in thoughts of the Supreme Personality. So this is how Lord Shiva and Kardama Muni were situated. Because of their attachment to the Supreme Lord, because of their complete meditation on the Supreme Lord, they didn't have any external consciousness. And still Devahuti accepted him as his husband, as a husband. So this way we can see that how noble the ladies used to be on those days. They didn't go for anything material. They simply considered the spiritual quality of the person. And she went through so much hardship. Like here is a princess who was brought up in inconceivable luxury. She comes to a person who doesn't have anybody around him. At least Lord Shiva had his associates and servants. So Sati's situation was not as bad as Devahuti's situation. No one is there to cook food. No one is there to bring the foodstuff. Vegetables and sabjis and grains. No one is there to carry water. There is no one is there to make bed. There is no one is there to sweep the house. To what to speak of sweep the house? There is no house. Even. So this is the situation. But she accepted him as her husband. Why? Because her consideration was not material. Her consideration was simply spiritual. Materially, yes, Kardama Muni had nothing. But spiritually, he was a very, very exalted personality. Therefore, she just committed herself completely to satisfy him. He didn't have his consciousness in his, he was not in his body consciousness. But still she was taking care of him as much as possible. And as a result of that, due to that hardship, Devahuti became emaciated. She was such a beautiful lady that the Supreme Personality of Godhead described her beauty. The Lord Himself described her beauty to Kardamani. And that beautiful princess became like a skeleton because she hardly ate anything. Her beautiful black hair became matted. She didn't have any ornament to dress herself. She didn't have any clothes to wear. She was covering her body with tree bark. And then one day Kardama Muni noticed and he felt bad. He felt extremely bad. What did I do to this chaste lady? She's the daughter of a princess and for my sake she's undergoing so much hardship. Then Kardama Muni decided to give her a good time. And here is, we can see the greatness of Kardama Muni. When he decided to give her a good time, he just created one planet filled with all kinds of luxury and comforts, with thousands of servants and maidservants. And not only he created this planet could move through the universe. So he took her in a joyride in that planet. And also there was a pond, and when Devahuti took her bath in that pond, I mean, she got her beauty back. She became the most beautiful woman, and the maidservants came to dress her and decorate her. And then, in this way, Kardama Muni had a wonderful time with Devahuti. And as a result of that, 9 daughters were born and 1 son was born at the end. Who is that son? The son is Kapil Muni. That son is the Supreme Personality of God Himself, appeared as His son. So this is the history of our universe, history of our planet. People may think that they came from monkeys, but we have our genealogical record, history. These are our forefathers. These are our ancestors. We come from this stock, not from monkeys. Prabhupada used to say that your forefather may be a monkey, but my forefather is Brahma. My forefather is Lord Brahma. And here we are seeing who is Brahma, Svayambhuva Manu, Kardama Muni, Devahuti. And this is how the history actually has been recorded. It's not a story. These are not just some fairy tales. These are not stories. These are histories. History, not story. The story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.